Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, May 15th, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the bright side, Seniors Walk to Past, Future. Graduates get a chance to reminisce, inspire grade schoolers. Jack Bush has the next several years already planned. The Eisenhower High School senior, who will graduate from Richland Community College on Friday and from Eisenhower on Saturday, thanks to successfully completing Prep Academy, is headed to Eastern Illinois University in the fall with 2 years of college already under his belt. He plans to study political science there and then join the Air Force, where he hopes to become a PJ, Air Force lingo for pararescueman, the elite Special Operations Force member who is trained to rescue, recover, and provide emergency medical treatment to downed air crews or injured personnel in hostile or remote environments. After that, he wants to be a firefighter and will be the third generation in his family to follow that path. He was one of the seniors who walked the halls of Montessori Academy for Peace on Wednesday in his graduation robes for Senior Walk Day. "It's really weird to be back," he said. "I've only been here a handful of times since eighth grade, so it's kind of like these kids who were early elementary are in middle school now. I saw some old staff and teachers, and it was like, oh, it's so good to see them. And others have moved buildings or retired or whatever the reason is. That's kind of sad, but life goes on," he said. The senior walk is when seniors return to their old stomping grounds to, they hope, inspire the younger students and for the seniors to have a chance to see their teachers and schools from their younger days one more time before graduation. The younger students line the hallways, cheering the older students as pomp and circumstance plays over the loudspeakers. "I think it's cool that they get to do this, and we get to see the people who have graduated," said Cassidy Pritz, a sixth grader at Montessori. "I think it brings back a lot of memories," said Grayson Greer, a fifth grader. Ethan Hernan, also in fifth grade, said he hoped they got to relive their younger years a bit and see how things have changed. This year's seniors only attended the Montessori school in its current location for 1 year because it moved from the Garfield location in South Shores between their seventh and eighth grade years. "It's cool that they get to walk and see, and if they have sisters and brothers here, it's cool that they get to see their sisters and brothers," he said. Eisenhower senior Emerson Walton is headed to Eastern to study music education with the hope of becoming a high school music teacher. "But not in Decatur," she said. "She wants to lead a large band, and bands in Decatur schools are generally small. She'll likely end up in a bigger city." "It's good reminiscing," she said. "It's good to see my old friends." Aaron Woolsey, MacArthur senior, is headed to Richland Community College for culinary school after graduation. He discovered a talent for cooking through his job at Sticks on 36 and wants to be a chef. "It was a good time, a good event," he said of the senior walk. "I enjoyed seeing friends I haven't seen in a long time. I was just thinking about the past, and now I'm thinking about my future." Nate Bivens is also headed to Eastern to become a teacher, but his passion, he said, is teaching English. He took a career test his freshman year in high school, and when it indicated that he was suited for teaching, he realized that was exactly what he wanted to do. And because he loves literature, teaching English was the obvious choice. He wants to teach at the high school level, though he's also considering teaching at the Montessori school where he went as a child. He's graduating from MacArthur High School on Saturday. "It was bittersweet walking through this old school," he said. "I always remember seeing this event as a younger person and admiring the seniors, and now I'm like, oh gosh, I wish I could spend another year or so seeing it from an outside perspective." And the photos here on page A5 show Eisenhower High School senior Jack Bush walks the halls of Montessori Academy for Peace as an example to younger students during the Senior Walk Day in Decatur on Wednesday. And it's not just Jack Bush, but there's a whole line of students behind him walking the halls, and we see people on the sides, students on the sides, clapping. And it looks like teachers also clapping. But there's students in their caps and gowns, and black caps and gowns, and in the way back, we see some students in dark blue or royal blue caps and gowns. And then the other picture, smaller picture, shows teaching assistant Amy Reynolds asks Eisenhower High School senior McKenna Geiger where she's going after graduation during the Montessori Academy for Peace Senior Walk Day in Decatur on Wednesday. And we see Amy Reynolds facing front, talking to McKenna Geiger, but we see just the back of McKenna. And then there's a student in the background in a royal blue robe. They don't have their mortarboards on their hats. And on the front page, we see Eisenhower High School senior Alexandria Lane Thomas returning to Montessori Academy for Peace for the Senior Walk in Decatur on Wednesday, May 13th. And she's at the head of the line, and there's a long line of graduating seniors behind her with different colored robes on. And in this picture, we see teachers in the background, but also young students, like little ones. Maybe first, second graders, clapping as the seniors in their robes walk by. And there's a little thing in the middle of this article. That says the bright side highlights uplifting moments across our community, and you can visit the website to read more and share ideas. And it's the bright side : where good news lives. And there's a quote here. I was just thinking about the past, and now I'm thinking about my future. And that's a quote from Aaron Woolsey, MacArthur Sr. And also on the front page is state news, state finances, Illinois budget outlook tempered, fiscal discipline eyed, geopolitical, economic uncertainty looms. This is from Springfield. Growing pessimism over the direction of the global economy is leading budget analysts for the governor's office and Illinois legislature to temper revenue expectations less than 3 weeks before lawmakers are set to finalize a new budget. Both the governor's budget office and the General Assembly's Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability revised revenue projections for the current year and fiscal year 2027 down by less than 1%. While the challenge is small and generally keeps budget talks on track, it's a sign that confidence in the economy is waning. Deputy Governor Andy Menar, who leads budgeting for Governor J.B. Pritzker, said in a statement, "The revised revenue estimates show that the overall fiscal picture in Illinois has substantially remained the same since February, heading into the fiscal weeks of this legislative session, final weeks of this legislative session, excuse me. But he also said it underscores the state's need to remain focused on fiscal discipline as the entire country is forced to continue to grapple with economic and geopolitical uncertainty that the Trump administration is creating. The forecasters revised estimates downward after S&P Global's April economic forecast came in less optimistic than the January report that was used to craft Pritzker's budget. GDP is now expected to grow 2.1% in 2026 compared to 2.3% that was forecast in January. Citing the ongoing war in Iran, S&P increased the likelihood of its downside scenario, which would include higher energy prices and declining consumer demand. It all leaves Menar with a warning for lawmakers, including many Democrats, who have sought spending increases. The latest estimate shows that our ability to increase spending beyond the governor's introduced levels is limited, he said. Estimate reductions. Pritzker's budget office decreased its fiscal year 2027 revenue projection by $173 million to $55.9 billion. Okay. The change leaves projected revenue of $149 million short of the spending Pritzker proposed. Provided lawmakers approve the measures Pritzker proposed in February to bring $728 million in new revenue. That includes a tax on social media companies based on how many users they have in Illinois. The other funds could come from adjustments to caps on operating loss deductions and table and electronic gambling games. The reduction is a small amount in the context of the massive state budget that underscores how little flexibility lawmakers have in crafting a budget to take effect July 1st. COGFA, COGFA, revised its fiscal year 27 projections down by $190 million to $55.3 billion. That doesn't include Pritzker's proposed revenues, meaning COGFA's estimate is actually about $180 million more optimistic than the governor's office. COGFA notes that sales tax collections have slowed in recent months in the state, causing them to lower expectations by $67 million for the upcoming year. A state law passed last year to plug holes in the public transit agency's budgets also requires that the state appropriate more sales tax revenue from motor fuel sales to public transportation, reducing the total amount of sales tax revenue available for general fund spending. I'm hearing from the retail industry. In fact, just in the past quarter, sales are down. Prices remain high, but actual volumes are down, Senator Mark Walker, Democrat of Arlington Heights, said. I look at everyone's forecast for next year's sales tax. I think that they are optimistic, and so I would be concerned. Year over year, inflation rose to 3.8% in April, according to the U.S. Department of Labor, which is the highest rate in 3 years. COGFA revenue manager Eric Noggle acknowledged there is a lot of uncertainty surrounding sales tax revenue as prices rise and consumers adapt. As prices rise, as inflation goes up, you're going to bring in more sales tax revenue, he said. But if there's fewer products being purchased, that's going to start to offset. COGFA is monitoring changes to employment levels that could impact how much the state receives from personal income taxes. Unemployment has been on the rise in Illinois, hitting 5.1% in March, according to the Department of Employment Security. S&P's April forecast expects unemployment will peak in early 2027 rather than in early 2026, is what is expected when Pritzker introduced his budget. It's not what you really want to see when you're thinking about personal income tax growth, Noggle said. The saving grace is that we've seen, though, is wages have been up. Amnesty tax revenue, the state's used to balance the fiscal year 26 budget, is also not expected to continue in fiscal year 27. Department of Revenue Director David Harris told a Senate committee on Wednesday. He said that brought in about $250 million to the General Revenue Fund this year. Lower expectations for transfers to the General Fund caused the largest decrease in COGFA's expectations for the upcoming budget, in large part because the state expects to pay more in income tax refunds. Federal funding is also projected to decrease. But with interest rates no longer expected to decrease soon, COGFA expects other revenue sources will collectively perform $133 million better than previously expected, thanks to more revenue from interest. Senator Rachel Ventura, Democrat of Joliet, also met the news cautiously. Since it's our job to have a sustainable budget moving forward, when I see a bunch of shifting, weakening numbers and only one holding up the fort, I don't like to put all my eggs in one basket, Ventura said. The impact of high gas prices remains a wild card. There's a lot of uncertainty, and we can't pretend otherwise. We're just going to have to take it day by day, Department of Revenue Chief Economist Rubina Hafiz said. Alignment on current expectations. Revenue has outperformed expectations in the current fiscal year. The budget lawmakers approved last year was expected to bring in $55.1 billion in new revenue, but the governor's office now estimates that it will land at $55.7 billion, with COGFA even more bullish at $55.9 billion new revenue. Most of that has been driven by better-than-expected personal income tax revenue, which is up 4.2% through April so far in fiscal year 26. But even though sales tax receipts have been up 4% so far this year, COGFA sees signs of that slowing. The source has increased by only 2.1% since January, and the Commission now expects the state will receive $64 million less than expected in its March forecast. The governor's office made a similar revision. Lawmakers are expected to pass a budget on May 31st. And the photo here on page A5 shows the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability Revenue Director, Eric Nagel, on the right in this picture, speaking to an Illinois Senate committee on Wednesday, May 13, 2026. So COGFA is the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability Revenue. In local and state news on page A3, public safety, cops, man had abuse media. Brown charged with disseminating videos. A Decatur man is jailed on charges he possessed dozens of videos showing the sexual abuse of children under the age of 13. Austin L. Brown faces 12 charges, accusing him mostly of possession, but also several counts of disseminating videos of child sexual abuse. A sworn affidavit filed by the Decatur Police Department said detectives were alerted to the 20-year-old's defendant's activities August 11th after being tipped off by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. The organization had been warned in turn by the Discord app, which said it had detected a user uploading two files depicting the sexual assaults of children. Police obtained search warrants for the archives of internet providers, and investigators said they were able to follow the cyber trail to Brown's home on East Robin Drive. Detective Timothy Wisniewski, who signed the affidavit, said he found 10 email addresses associated with an Android account nicknamed Austin's Channel, and when police raided Brown's home to execute a search warrant on May 5th of this year, they seized equipment including a computer hard drive. It featured a folder called School 25, holding more than 3,000 files, and 64 depicted identified children, Wisniewski said. Questioned by detectives, Brown is quoted as admitting viewing and downloading child sexual abuse images. He also is quoted as telling police he had been investigated on suspicion of similar crimes while he was a student at Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville. Austin said he was previously into some younger content, but now was more interested in content involving people around 16 to 19 years old, said Wisniewski. Austin admitted detectives would probably find child sexual abuse material on a hard drive kept in his backpack in the bedroom. Austin said he had not gotten around to deleting files depicting younger children from the hard drive. Brown was arraigned on May 7th in Macon County Circuit Court, and Judge Jack Kiley ruled he was too dangerous to be trusted with pretrial release. He remains held in the Macon County Jail and is due back in court May 20th for a preliminary hearing when he will enter pleas to the charges against him. Mother accused of false report. Police report that a Chicago woman is in trouble after raising a false alarm about her daughter being sexually assaulted in the bathroom of a Decatur public school. Daphne J. Riley, 36, made the claims in emails sent to police and school administrators. She later backed up her story with an emailed video showing the man allegedly involved performing a sex act on himself, which Riley claimed she had found in a private folder on her daughter's cell phone. A sworn affidavit filed by the Decatur Police Department said the man in the video was talking and his face was visible. He was identified and Riley traced after police served a warrant on Microsoft Corporation to get information which revealed the defendant as a sender of the emails and video. The man in the video was contacted and told police he used to be in a dating relationship with Riley. The rest of her story about the sexual assaults of a child proved to be entirely made up, according to Officer Amber Quinlan, who signed the affidavit. She lists no motive for the defendant's actions. There's no child victim identified in this case, and the allegations made in the email sent to Decatur Police Department and Decatur Public School staff were proven to be false, Quinlan said. Riley is now facing a charge accusing her of the non-consensual disseminations of a sexual image. The case dates back to November 2023, when the first email from Riley was sent. Police and school officials began an immediate investigation, but ran into suspicious problems right away. The writer of the email refused to identify herself and or her daughter to police or school staff, Quinlan said. Then the email with the video arrived on December 17th of 2023, and police made renewed efforts to contact the sender. I responded and advised that the police needed to speak with her and her daughter immediately, Quinlan said. She still refused to identify herself, her daughter, or meet the police. The search to find Riley continued, and she was finally located and arrested before being booked into the Macon County Jail on the afternoon of April 27th of this year. She appeared in Macon County Circuit Court the next day for arraignment, and Judge Jack Kiley agreed to grant her pretrial release with the condition she has no contact with the former boyfriend and stays away from the public school involved. Riley is due back in court May 27th for a preliminary hearing when she will enter a plea to the charge against her. Chicago Mayor Johnson to meet Pope Leo XIV. Mayor Brandon Johnson will meet Pope Leo XIV during a visit to the Vatican at the end of this month, his office announced Wednesday. The trip will take place from May 26 to May 30th, include stops in Rome and Vatican City, according to a statement from the mayor's press office that highlighted Johnson and Leo's shared ties to the nation's third largest city. The mayor's meeting with the Pope is set for May 28th. I'm just elated that the Pope is from Chicago, Johnson said in a statement about the upcoming trip. I think we're going to talk about the values we share, protecting voting rights, protecting immigrant rights, and protecting workers' rights. He's been very clear and consistent on those issues, and I'm looking forward to that conversation. Johnson's visit will be the first time a pope has hosted a Chicago mayor in over a decade, since Pope Francis held a 2026 ceremony attended by Mayor Rahm Emanuel for the elevation of Chicago Archbishop Blaise Kupich to cardinal. As with that trip, expenses for this month's excursion will be covered by World Business Chicago, according to Johnson's office. Earlier last month, a delegation of 25 mayors from the Illinois Municipal League had a private audience with Leo at the Vatican. Other Illinois politicians who have met with the Pope include Governor J.B. Pritzker and Secretary of State Alexei Janulius, the latter of whom is mulling a run for mayor. Robert Prevost, the Chicago-born and Dalton-raised missionary who spent his career ministering in Peru and took over the Vatican's powerful office of bishops, was elected the first pope from the United States in the history of the Catholic Church on May 8, 2025. His selection was met with elation across Chicago, with Johnson chiming in that day, "Everything dope, including the pope, comes from Chicago." That's a quote from the mayor. More local news, 34 booked in police crackdown. crime crackdown by Illinois State Police supported by multiple other law enforcement agencies, including the Decatur Police Department and the Macon County Sheriff's Office, resulted in 34 arrests. A news release said the effort ranged across Macon, Champaign, and Vermilion counties between May 4th to May 9th. Officers utilized drone aerial surveillance and other technology to target known high fatality crash areas, high crime areas, organized violent offenders, and criminal groups using interstate systems to facilitate crime. Police say aerial assets proved crucial on May 7th when a driver in the Decatur area fled from a traffic stop on foot. Air operations successfully tracked the driver, and officers were able to take him into custody, the release said. During a search, officers found two firearms along with suspected cannabis and ecstasy. The driver, a convicted felon, was booked into the Macon County Jail for armed violence, unlawful possession of a firearm by repeat felony offender, possession of a weapon by a felon, aggravated unlawful possession of a weapon, possession of a controlled substance, and aggravated fleeing and eluding, and other traffic offenses. The day before, on May 6th, the man who had been a passenger in a car pulled over in Decatur for traffic violations turned out to be a convicted felon armed with a stolen gun and in possession of heroin. He was booked into the Macon County Jail on multiple weapons charges, including possession of a weapon by a gang member, possession of heroin, and for various sex offender violations. Illinois State Police will continue to use all available resources, including air operations, technology, forensic services, investigators, increased patrols, and information sharing to combat violent crime, according to the news release. A full breakdown of the 34 suspects apprehended showed that their arrests generated 28 felony charges among a total of 72 offenses charged. Police seized 5 firearms and more than a pound of cannabis and 2.3 ounces of other street drugs. Officers also issued 204 citations, 442 written warnings, and carried out 100 motor carrier safety inspections. News in brief. New YMCA interim leaders named Matt Noonan and Angela Fulke will serve as co-interim chief executive officers of the Decatur Family YMCA as the search begins to replace Dominic Santomassimo. Noonan is the director of finance. Fulke is the director of health and wellness. We are confident in the strengths and experience both leaders bring to this role, as well as our shared commitment to ensuring stability and continuity during this transition, said Scott Rosenberry, president of the Decatur Family YMCA Board of Directors. The board will also work closely with YMCA of the USA throughout the CEO search process. The news release credited Santomassimo, who arrived at the Decatur YMCA in February 2021, for helping to advance the group's commitment to strengthening community through youth development, healthy living, and social responsibility. And that's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated May 15th, 2026. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.